March 27, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 74.
No good goddamn freeloading son of a bitch, retarded big mouth know-it-all asshole jerk. Forgot ugly, lazy, and disrespectful. Shut up, bitch! Go fix me turkey pot pie.
Remove the earth, woman. Prepare her for our pleasure.
Forget it, Ming. Dale's with me.
Flash!
Stay back!
What's that bastard want, huh?
How's tricks, Maroney?
What are you doing here, Icehole?
Hey, can't a fellow enjoy a night out gambling with some of his pals?
Don't bullshit me. Search the summoner, bitch.
Hey, we're clean, Maroney. You see, I don't bear no grudges, even though you boys have been muscling in on my territory. Why do you do that, Maroney?
It's a free country, Icehole.
Be clean, boss.
Okay, you and the rest of your bastiges can gamble. But don't try no bargain trick, otherwise you wind up with your bells in a sling.
What a mouth on that guy.
Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, heroes in a half shell.
small judo man.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strobe, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. It's episode 74 of Nowhere in Mulberry. I'm glad you're here. Welcome into our abode here. Relax on this comfortable sofa and listen to us do the show for a bit. I'm here doing the show with the pop culture zealot, Steven. How are you doing, Steven?
Good.
You're on a comfortable chair. Are you pretty comfortable?
Pretty comfortable.
Good. You're relaxed, nice and calm.
Got some sleep.
Got some sleep.
Felt good.
Where were you this week? What part of the country?
San Jose.
San Jose. Nice. And we also have here the Mulberry historian, Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, hey, hey.
It's good to have you.
What's up, my naggers?
Indeed. Also, we have the Mulberry newswoman, Vanessa. How you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, Vanessa, last week was your birthday, and we had birthday songs and games, and you were nowhere around. It was very upsetting.
You should have known that. Men.
Do what?
What? You're my brother, and you couldn't remember it was my birthday?
I did remember it was your birthday. That's why we had the birthday
song. No, I mean, you were like, where were you? Well, duh.
Yeah, no, it's called answering your phone. That's what it's called.
Oh, I wasn't here. I was out celebrating.
Oh, okay.
And where were you celebrating? GameStop?
Yeah,
with Eugene.
Yeah. And, but since you missed it last week, here, Vanessa.
Happy birthday.
Oh, gosh.
Happy birthday.
I have nightmares.
Happy birthday, Vanessa Mulberry, news lady. Happy birthday I love you, sweetie.
Call me.
That's nice and creepy.
I still get chills from it. Well, there you go, Vanessa. You missed out. That was your birthday present.
Well, damn.
Well, the whole gang's back again. How are you guys doing? Everything's good? Ready for a nice hot summer? I know I am.
Yes.
In fact, I did some lawn mowing today, and now I want to just die. Because you got to get that weed, you got to kill the weeds out there, you got to put bug stuff down. It's just, I've never been able to do lawns. I don't know how to take care of a manicure of them. I'm not even that interested in it, you know. Now, Bill, do you know anything about lawn maintenance, Bill?
No, that's why I moved out to the country and I have all trees.
Ah,
almost no lawn what to speak of.
See, that's what I need to live in, like Palm Springs, where it's just sand and dirt. Or, you
and
know what?
People.
Just replace your lawn with rocks.
Gravel. That's what I want to
get AstroTurf.
Yeah, I need AstroTurf. Now, another thing that happened this week, I was kind of frazzled this week, you guys. It just really sucked. I had another friggin' blowout on the freeway about 8 months ago. I think I even talked about this on the show, where I was with my daughter. We're on the freeway, and I had a flat tire. But this time, I had a violent blowout. Not just a, I got a flat, let me pull over. It's more like a... Oh, shit!
On two wheels, driving down the middle.
Yeah. I was up on two wheels, you know, avoiding old ladies, walking on the freeway. I don't know what they were doing there, but I pull off on the side of the road, and I got my daughter there, and I want to change the tire, get out of there as quick as possible. So... you always have that lug nut that won't come off. You know, it's like, what the hell? So I go, plink, break the lug nut off with the little screw where it attaches to the wheel. So I'm like, oh, crap. Well, at least I got three more. So I start yanking on the second one. Clink, break that off too.
Oh, man.
So what I had was one of those gamma ray induced Hulkouts of adrenaline where I was so nervous that I broke them off like they were just like... you know, piece of
tin foil,
like a cracker or something.
Snapped like a twig.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. I had this awesome strength. So what I did is I just carried the car home. How awesome is that?
Nice.
With my daughter inside. And she's really impressed because I'm super strong. So that was my week. Awesome. Oh, and I did get some brand new tires this week. That's very exciting.
Yes. Wow. So much more exciting than a piece of electronic gear or...
Yeah. Especially, you know. It's like $400. I'm thinking the talk shoe thing will most likely happen next month, which is April. I'm thinking the last week of April. So I'll be sure to let everyone know in each consecutive episode. Most of all, everyone needs to download talk shoe on their computers. That's mostly
make
what
sure you
need.
Download that for me, okay?
Yeah. So before we go anywhere, Bill, have you seen this clip that's everywhere online with David O. Russell, the director of Three Kings?
Yes, I have, on the set of I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, I Heart Huckabees. I've never seen it. In fact, I didn't want to see it based on the title that sucks.
I've seen it, and it sucks.
Now, I like the guy's work. I love Three Kings. I think that was really yes. It was a good movie. And I Heart Huckabees has got, what, Jason Schwartzman, Dustin Hoffman, Lily Tomlin, that kind of thing.
Jude Law, Naomi Watts.
David O. Russell has famous temper tantrums on his sets because there was a story a long time ago about George Clooney getting to a fist fight with him on the set because he was treating everyone so bad and he got him in a chokehold or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's this clip online where they filmed of David O. Russell flying off the handle on Lily Tomlin, like just losing his freaking mind, throwing things, kicking things, just having a little baby tantrum.
If I was him, I would have killed Lily Tomlin, too. She was being a freaking bitch.
What is she, like 75 now, though?
What matter? It doesn't matter.
Bill, she is Hollywood royalty.
Yeah, yes, she's a diva.
She worked with Altman, for Christ's sakes.
Oh!
So here's what happens. I'm going to go ahead and play this. And warning to you guys, it's got a lot of F-bombs, so get the kids out of the room and get ready to enjoy some of this.
It's harder actually to pick it up from the damn desk.
Okay.
You were planning.
All right, take a beat and preset it.
You can put the fucking thing down. You can put the folder down for a second to use both hands.
Yeah, and take your legs off the desk and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Everybody says you gotta keep it. You can take your legs down.
We can buy some.
Okay, for Christ's sake, let's just take it one fucking line at a time. Instead of changing everything, it's very difficult to even create what you're going to do when it's constant, a barrage of change this, do this. No, wait, do it a different way. Don't get me started. Okay, so I'm just saying, let's just, you know, it's impossible. One actor's doing one thing, another actor's doing another, and I'm not as brilliant as you. I can't keep up with you.
No, but we're being very patient.
We're being very efficient.
Be patient with you.
Let's rehearse.
You're being impatient.
No, I said patient.
Let's rehearse.
I couldn't understand you. And it's not the first time.
Fuck you! I'm just trying to fucking help you. Do you understand me? I'm being a fucking collaborator. I was trying to help you figure out your fucking picture. Hey, bitch. I'm not here to be fucking yelled at. I worked on this fucking thing for 3 fucking years not to have some fucking cunt yell at me in front of the fucking crew when I'm trying to fucking help you, bitch. Figure it out yourself.
Well, I have to
figure it out. Yeah, fuck yourself.
Whoa, that's like our show.
Why don't you fucking
after the show?
Because that's what you're doing. We better get some insurance.
This is where he goes off set and then bursts in the door on the set to yell at her.
Yeah, he storms off and he gets to hear him and then he comes back. So he's doing the full circle around.
Act like a grown up. You're not a baby. You're a fucking grown up. I'm here to fucking help you. That's all I was doing, was trying to help you figure out anything. You're not
to step
out. You're not to step out.
Wow, very shocking.
He sounds fun to be married to.
I want
to
see, he's a typical...
He wants to see I Heart Huckabees now.
Well, Lily Tomlin was just being such a passive-aggressive bitch.
Yeah, she was kind of being condescending.
I don't think
Vanessa, she's a woman. Shouldn't you blame the guy since he's a man?
No, she was being a bitch.
Wow, hey, a breakthrough. Nice. Now, Bill, would you ever go work with David O. Russell after that?
Yeah, why not?
David O. Russell or Altman, who would you work with?
Oh, please. Well, Altman's dead, so I guess it would have to be David O. Russell.
Why do I have to say the O in his name? Come on, David Russell. Drop the O. Give me a break.
Because I think there's another David Russell.
I don't care. I'm not going to say that anymore. It's so stupid. David O. Russell. Oh, Russell. No, it's David Russell or Dave Russell. How about that? If there's another David Russell, just go by Dave. Dave Russell.
Yeah, it's like that. What's the guy's name that... Paul W.S. Anderson?
Yeah, there's Paul Thomas Anderson, Paul W.S. Anderson. And they direct completely different kinds of movies. Magnolia, Alien vs. Predator.
Existentialist garbage, and the other one just direct garbage.
All right, guys, let's go ahead. We got some voicemail from our listeners. Let's check it out. What do you guys say?
Hey, citizens of Mulberry, this is the Ron, or as you people consistently refer to me as, the Rondu. Hey, I just got back from Wizard World in L.A. at the L.A. Convention Center today, and man, my hand is sore from meeting many of the celebs today.
You sounds bad.
You guys a little jealous. Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kristen Bell, Jason.
Now Bell. I'm jealous.
somebody from your guys' show, Friday Night Lights, you guys like to watch. I think her name's Tara something. She was hot as hell. Met David Faustino.
Ooh, bud!
Watched a panel discussion of a movie called The Tripper, which will be with David Arquette, Paul Rubens, and many other, Courtney Cox, Jason Mewes, and Thomas Jane. It's about a serial killer who looks like Ronald Reagan. He goes around killing stoned hippies. But I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, hey, there's got to be a way I can share this with you and your many listeners. So I'm going to take it upon, since I go to many of these events and this kind of thing, or
David
tell you guys about it late after the
fact. Jealous.
How about I get myself one of them digital recorders? I record these things.
Yes, Ron, do it.
Send it to Jason, and he can play snippets for these things. You know, I'm going to Comic-Con in July. I'm going to the Star Wars 30th anniversary thing next month.
Awesome.
So I'm going to a lot of these events. I'm thinking maybe I can start recording some of this stuff, and you guys can play them on your show. How about it?
Yeah.
See if you guys are interested. And I'm really loving your show, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Be the in-the-field reporter.
Yeah, do that, Ron. I would love an interview with
David Faustino.
No, not David Faustino. Kristen Bell or...
Paul Stanley.
I think he's talking about Tyra, Adrian Palicki from Friday Night Lights. I'm guessing he's thinking it. But Gene Simmons, Paul... I'd love a Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry or something.
Oh, that would be awesome. Like, we could write questions for him, and he could ask them.
Yeah, that would be great. It's like, oh, these guys love wrestling, Stone Cold.
Yeah, but you'd have to know who's going to be at the event in advance.
Here's what we do. We'd have trivia questions, like just ridiculous pop culture trivia questions, and see how smart or stupid the people are. And he could do that. And we would vote. Like, say he would interview David Faustino, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kristen Bell. We'd have to guess which one gets the questions more right than the other. And he'd do something like that. That would be cool. Something like that, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another voicemail. Let's check it out.
Hi, Mulberry crew.
Wow, still calling from underwater.
This is the guy you call Mystery Man. Great show. I was particularly interested in the comments you were making about the possibilities of turning Watchmen into a movie. And I've heard rumors about this for the last 10, 15 years now, attempt to make a movie about the graphic novel at some point in time. And I've always felt kind of like Bill does, that it's huge with a lot of non-action pieces that will kind of slow things down. And most people are too stupid to figure out what the metaphor is about anyway. But the more I think about it, it's like you could probably jettison a lot of that stuff and still make a pretty damn good movie. I mean, I thought that The Lord of the Rings was just so big and sprawling that Peter Jackson could never do justice to it, but he really changed my mind about that, and he made some decisions that certainly offended the fanboys and such, but, you know, a movie is a movie and a book is a book. You got to remember that when you go to the theater, that the book that you love is not going to translate well, but they're two different mediums. I just saw The 300 myself. Totally agree with you guys. It's a fantastic movie. The guy's got a great sense of visual style, and he can really direct an action scene. I think he could possibly do it. You'd have to take a lot of it out, though, and what would be the end result would be something that is really different from the book. It would be two totally different pieces of art that have to be judged on their own merits. So, just something to think about. And I hope you find Vanessa.
Yeah, we found her. Thanks, Mystery Man.
I'm found.
He's absolutely right. I mean, there is a movie in there, but you have to know how to get the movie out of the book.
Right, and you always know, I'm sure they know going in, well, hey, we're going to piss off a lot of people because you got to drop stuff. Yeah. Or even like, hey, to make this work better, we need to add these scenes that aren't even in the book. That stuff like that that drive people crazy. But what are you going to do? Hey, yeah. I'll watch it with an open mind. I haven't even read the graphic novel yet, but I'll check it out. I mean, there are some things that I've read and then you see it made into a movie and you hate. Or
like
there's
Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah, or there's some things that you don't seem to mind. One thing that I thought was great about, like, say, The Shawshank Redemption is that it was a very short story, and he could elaborate on it. And I'd even say he made it a bigger story than in the book, the short story, which I thought was cool. It's a, hey, Zack Snyder, he's got to worry about it, not me. I'll just go see the movie, right? All right, guys, let's go ahead and check out entertainment. What do you say? All right, we don't have a lot of movies to talk about this week, except for TMNT came out in theaters, Steven. Hey, going to see it after the show, right?
You know it.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Cowabunga, dude! Hey, the only thing I'm pissed about this, no Corey Feldman doing a voice.
Oh, man.
What the hell is going on?
They could have at least got him to do Michelangelo, at least.
I know, come on. I know the dude's a freak, but still, he does a mean Ninja Turtle voice.
Give the poor bastard some work.
So,
for God's sakes, he's bussing tables right now or something.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Whatever happened to that movie he was doing? Remember it was kind of like a noir mystery kind of thing set at a reception?
I think we all know what happened to the movie, Bill. Shelved! Straight to video.
I don't even think it's on video.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably lost funding and it's incomplete somewhere.
Lost funding. He just talked about it somewhere. It was all.
There was no funding. He was pretending. It's so sad. Hey, Corey Feldman, on this show, I'd love to have him on. What do you guys say?
Oh, absolutely.
We need to get the Ron Dude interview. Ron Dude, if you're listening, get Corey Feldman on the phone, interview him, put it on the show.
Him and David Faustino, side by side.
Hey,
wait a second, get the two Coreys.
What do you guys think? Feldman cast. New podcast. Or Faustino cast.
I think it should be the Feldman Haim Faustino podcast.
Awesome. We're starting that next. So let's go ahead and get into our TiVo. We got a lot of shows to talk about. This is very serious. All right, the first thing I want to talk about is American Idol, Bill, because there was this little girl who was crying on the show this week, the singer named Sanjaya, is that his name? Sacagawea, I don't know what
his name is. Well, he looks like a little girl, but the little girl was crying for Sanjaya.
Yeah, here's a bit. He's singing the song, and the whole time they keep cutting to this little girl crying. Let's check it out. And this is all audio, so you can't see the little girl crying, so imagine a girl crying.
Don't know what I'm doing. Oh yeah,
I'd be crying too.
I only wanna be by your side. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Oh yeah, you really got me now.
I think the little girl's face says it all.
Nice. So get this, he goes out and he hugs the girl and she's crying. Okay, then the next morning I'm watching the Today Show early in the morning. They have the little crying girl on the show. She's made headlines.
They had to have hired that girl.
Yeah, she's a plant, but here's the thing. She has a movie deal now. Like a crying girl. Okay, I made that up. But seriously, would it surprise you? She's in David O. Russell's next film. She's going to be crying a lot on that thing. Jesus. But here's the thing. Sanjaya.
I heart cut the bees.
Everyone's upset because why does the Sanjaya guy keep winning? He sucks ass. Here's, I'll tell you why right here.
Arguably, booted idol Brandon Rogers may have the better voice. So how could Sanjaya have gotten more votes? Patrick Wells, founding member of VoteForTheWorst.com, may be the reason Sanjaya stays safe. On their website, they urge their 2 to 3 million visitors to vote for who should lose, irking idol producers and judges. They even have the king of Sirius Satellite Radio backing them up.
I've joined, and I am definitely voting for the worst tonight.
So basically, they've got Howard Stern, they got everybody voting for the worst this season, which I think is hilarious. It. Any way you can hijack this horrible show, I say do it.
Yep.
I agree.
And how great would it be? They, you know they're going to change the voting system after this, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because Sanjaya, I think it'd be great if he wins in the end.
You know how can they change it? Because, I mean, if it's all phone votes and they're just, well, it's just a.
They could have the final say.
It's a grassroots thing.
But you see what, Steven, it's not only phone votes, but it's SMS messages also.
Right.
And there are certain programs that you can get that, like, flood SMS messages. So it's easy to, like, vote 150 times in, you know, an hour with these.
So if they went strictly to the phone vote or something without SMS.
If this would deter people from even auditioning anymore, I doubt that'll happen. But one thing I keep seeing is everyone thinks everybody sucks this season pretty much, don't they?
They do. I can't really say there's any one person on there that I think is great.
Well, have you guys seen the big tubby guy with the Jack Osborne curly fro hair named Chris
you mean
Sly?
Sideshow Bob.
Yeah, Sideshow Bob hair. Have you seen this goofball?
Yeah, Chris Sly. He's married to a hot piece of skirt, too.
Well, he was on the show, and he gave Simon a little lip, and it was uncomfortable. Let's check it out.
Simon Cowell?
Well, I agree. Your humor's got you here.
He's a funny, chubby guy.
Yeah, I'm torn here. I'll be honest with you. Because I've got to know you. I like you very much. And I think you're a fantastic personality. Having said that, I kind of felt I was at some weird student gig. Because...
Boo!
Student gig!
You know, it's just a lot of students. And someone gets up and sings a song. You know...
Huh?
I really am struggling tonight.
Why do they sing?
What?
The student. The student.
Who's she's asking struggling. You? I'm asking you. I don't know. You do the link, sweetheart.
No, but you're
not making sense. I'll do the
Ryan Seacrest, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Seacrest.
Don't call me sweetheart.
Ryan Seacrest, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Don't call me sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Well, not that kind of relationship. I don't want that kind of relationship. I don't want that kind of relationship.
Exactly. Oh, yes, you do.
We'll just work together. That's fine with me. Is that okay?
Fine. Here,
I think it's even, a good plan.
Even
thank you. Chris,
struggle.
Sorry about this right now. It's about Chris Sly, not you.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
My only question is that, you know, like, obviously the audience is digging that this kind of music is very popular right now.
I like sandwiches.
What I have to say is that just because I don't sing Il Divo or Teletubbies doesn't mean that...
You could always do the latter.
Simon, you're terrible. Chris, you're funny.
And I love you. You know that.
Chris, I like you. I just don't think it was an incredible vocal performance. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yes, sir.
It was okay.
I think you've hurt his feelings.
No, you haven't.
I'm sorry.
I think so.
Well, you've made this very uncomfortable, Ryan, now.
Well, Ryan.
Because for once, instead of you insulting somebody else... You were insulted.
No, you just made it uncomfortable.
Yeah. Now, Bill, explain the insult right there, the Teletubbies thing. What is that all about?
Well, Simon Cowell was an A&R rep for BMG Music, and he's the one that's credited with discovering the people that made Teletubbies and that,
Il Divo.
That all-opera guy group Il Divo. So I really don't see it as an insult. I mean, I guess that's all the kid could think of at the time. But Simon Cowell probably made millions off of both of those.
It's probably not much of an insult, but you have the crowd going, like friggin' morons. Now,
how do you know that's not canned ooh?
Canned ooh. That's
hey, you can sell that stuff. That stuff's flying off the shelves. Canned ooh. Now, guys, a better show than American Idol. Forget about that show. Tori and Dean in love, I-N-N. They're opening a bed and breakfast, Steven.
I've heard about this.
Wow.
Wow, he's heard about it and he's so moved.
I hope I can stay there while I'm on the road.
Now, get this. After a shower, I'm drying off, and I got the TV on. I watched it. Why not? As I'm toweling off with my...
Well, it's probably you were mesmerized by her, like, bug-like eyes.
And her, she's pregnant, too. And she's got that Hollywood belly button
she's
sticking
pregnant
out, too.
Again?
Yeah, she's knocked up. And
no,
she's...
this was before she had the baby.
Oh, okay.
Even.
And also, she has to basically sell off all of her stuff because she's broke.
Right.
Because her mom took all of her stuff. Good. And in this clip here, good. Vanessa, why would you get
Make
pleasure from the misfortune of
God
others?
God forbid anybody be more fortunate than Vanessa.
No, I mean... The whole thing with she should make her own money, not take her dad's.
Good, yeah, but it's fits. Rightfully hers. It's her dad's, and he wanted it to go to her.
Well, I was just saying that she probably makes plenty of money off of 90210 anyway with it and reruns.
Well, yeah, I'm sure she had a big piece of the back end on that.
So here's the deal. Her husband, who's not a rich guy, he's like, if we're broke, why do you have all this stuff? She has, like, all this stuff in warehouses, like old furniture, you know, dresses, shoes. And he's trying to make her get rid of all of it. Let's check it out. It's very humorous. Wait a second. Is that a Smallville clip from last week? Is that Lex killing
Lex
the doctor?
In the crypt. Crypt fight.
Yeah, apparently in this closet where Tori Spelling is, there's a lot of dry ice, too, Bill. There's fog.
It's a nice
I have been avoiding my closet for days. I can't even be in this room. It's so messy right now. There's clothes everywhere.
Are they using soap?
I'm seeing like three things right away, like those jackets.
No, they're Chanel.
They look kind of old lady.
Ba-doom.
I'm sorry. What? They do.
Classic Chanel.
Foggy, are you working on the show? Moonlighting.
Because I don't wear them, but they're vintage.
Okay, so what are you going to do with them?
I won't part.
Dude, the show's really creepy. Is it a horror show?
I'm totally lost with this.
Hosted by Robert Englund, Tori and Dean. He's dressed up in his Freddy gear.
Casey Kasem's going to come in at any moment and do a Shaggy.
I don't know what's going on there.
This is the house on Elm Street.
Yeah. Okay, we got The Apprentice this week, guys, and they had to put together this little soap-type web commercial, and it was
possibly the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
They had the girl, what is the weird girl's name? What is she? From Zimbabwe or something?
Zimbabwe, yeah, that's it.
I think her name is Mojito or Mojito.
Mojito,
yeah.
That's right.
Let's check it out. We'll see how it went.
Mona asked you a question. Who would you take? Who would you want? And you
honestly
said you'd take
Mona.
Mona, that was not
Mona.
A good question to ask. You lost this task. You did a bad job. I have to say, Mona, you're fired.
Jesus!
She's spontaneous.
So what do you guys think of The Apprentice this year? Seriously, are you really... Here's my thing. The thing, when I get into The Apprentice, like last season, it's because I get into the people who are the contestants. Like, you know, they have different personalities. Everyone's kind of flat this year. They're not very interesting people.
I would rather sit on a toilet for an hour and read Cosmopolitan than watch... The Apprentice.
The only people I like the two, the kind of loud girl who's in love with the other guy. They're okay. And the guy from the...
I like how they're even nameless.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The people are nameless. That's hilarious.
The only people that have made impression on me is Frank from the Bronx and Heidi, because she's hot.
Yes, Heidi is hot.
They're the only two I can remember their names. No one else has made an impression on me, but I'm going to say that Frank and Heidi will be two of the finalists.
I would hope so.
They're the only ones that make any kind of impression on you. Everybody else is riding coattails till they get mm-hmm. there. You know, and thank God they got rid of Sanjaya. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong show. What is that guy's name from last week? I don't remember. The dude with the fro and the soul
Sanjay,
patch?
Sanjay, I think it is.
Sanjay.
Yeah, Sanjaya, I think.
No, it was just Sanjay. Or...
Don't know what I'm doing.
No, okay.
You're fired.
Okay, guys, Friday Night Lights is back. It's awesome. Everything's great. Jason Street did not make the quad rugby team. It was very sad. I love how they hit you with that right away. He's like, sorry, son, you're not going. Boom, opening credits. You know it sucks for him. And then
what was their reasoning behind that? He was too young?
No, it's
kind of answered here in this clip. Let's go ahead and check this out. Hold that thought, Steven.
Gotcha.
I heard. I'm so sorry.
There it is. What's cracking, man? Hey, rub some dirt on it. Walk it off. Huh?
Thanks for the sympathy. Whoa, depressing guy. I'm trying to get my groove on here. Good. You did great. Coach Gumby loves you. Alright? What's the big deal?
Coach Pokey,
not as much. Big Keelan is the best athlete out there on that floor for the past couple of weeks. You know it. I know it. Coach Gumby knows it. But he don't love me that much. I'm not one of his boys. He's got relationships with me. There's no way he's gonna pass you guys up for me. Wow. You have a truly spectacular ego. You know that?
Perk, shut up.
Listen to me here, alright, stud? You're good. You may have the best raw skills out there. But hold off on the conspiracy theories. You ain't on a team because you're not comfortable in a chair yet. And that's going to take years.
I really needed this.
Look, I know you did. We all did.
It's a championship, QB.
Not therapy.
You know, I was kind of thinking the same thing. He went from crippled, rehabilitated, into the quad rugby thing pretty fast.
Right.
He's a natural athlete, but I think they just thought it's too soon for this guy to do this. I don't know why. I guess they had their reasons, but everybody else, I guess, has been in a wheelchair for a lot longer.
Yeah. Well, I can understand the reasoning, but I can't help but think that getting on the team would help him even more to become more comfortable in the chair.
Right. And Herc even says, this isn't about your recovery. It's about winning a championship. So not to take it that way.
Yeah. But, and I guess, you know, they couldn't put him on if they put him on, they lose somebody else that may be just as good or more experienced. So
what I like about Jason Street's character, you can see him, he starts to get kind of bummed and feel sorry for himself, but he's always got someone around him that to cheer him up, like be it Lila or the tattoo girl who decides to give him a ride back to Dillon. They stop at Stonehenge 2 that's apparently somewhere in Texas. I need to check it out. Where is it, Steven?
It's out in West Texas.
We need to check it out, man.
It's out in the hill country somewhere.
Nice. So he kind of has a little hookup with her, and they make out. Cut to what we kind of didn't talk about as much last week was Riggins making friends with this little boy, his next-door neighbor's son. He's an adorable kid. He's got a lot of personality. And I love the scene where his mom basically asks him to go pick her son up and watch him. And he's like, I'm not a babysitter. And it's like, it's not babysitting. You're just watching him. But it is babysitting.
Yeah.
But I love when he shows up to the school, the kid's getting picked on. And he tells the kids, you know, don't touch this kid again or I'll punch a hole in your chest and rip your heart out. And he's like, are you okay? And he's like, are you kidding? That was awesome. The way he threatened those kids. So, all in all, I think this is a great episode of Friday Night Lights, but I say that every week, don't I, Steven? I mean, seriously, when am I going to stop? When are they going to do a bad episode of the show, Bill? Seriously.
I don't think they ever are. The writers are just that good. You had that terrific scene of Street and Riggins and Smash.
Oh, yeah.
And,
they're all getting drunk.
On the football field.
What I love about that scene, Bill, is they all are talking about the problems that they're having. Because every episode, it switches between the different characters. They're all in one place, and they're like, no, that's not a problem. Here's my problem. And yeah, I love how they compare notes.
Yeah, and then Street finally, you know, he shows how he can really help Saracen become the best quarterback he can be.
He gives
them
some confidence there.
You know, they all get drunk off their ass, and then they wake up in the morning, and Smash and Saracen are laying right on top of each other next to one another. And Riggins says, man, that is so broke back.
That was genius. Great. And I love how Saracen's always worried about getting in trouble. He's like, dude, relax. There's no one else they can replace the quarterback with. Who are they going to let me play? I'm in a wheelchair.
You're already the second string.
Yeah. There's no one to replace you. They can't suspend you.
They're going to pull out the JV quarterback.
Yeah. I thought that was great. Good stuff. I also love the...
When they went to the beer store, too. That just shows the power of the football team.
Right.
You know?
They won't. Yeah. The guy won't sell to Jason because he's
underage.
His family's suing the team. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And so Riggins buys it for him. But one of my favorite scenes here is the mom next door invites Riggins over for dinner and to watch Back to the Future. And the kid falls asleep. He lays him in bed, tucks him in, and then he makes a move on the mom. And I love, she goes, "You're a little boy. You need to go home." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And he just leaves. He feels real stupid.
That was great.
I love the way she says, "You're a little boy," or whatever. She's like, "You need to run along now. Run home." "Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry." He just like made an ass out of himself. But then at the end, she lets down her guard. And they do stuff.
And she is hot.
Yeah, and you
know, what is with all the women on this show? Well, the majority of the women, they're all hot.
Yeah.
That's Texas for you.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Julie, Coach's daughter, before they go to that father-daughter dance, she comes out sporting the cleavage in that little black dress.
Yeah, and I think she's like, 16, Bill, so you're really perverted.
No, she's 18.
Right,
she's
now
legal.
Oh, okay.
She is legal.
So here's the thing. I love the scene where she needs to go to this father-daughter dance, and the mom... First, Julie says she's all upset because they might possibly move because he might take this job out of town. And
it's Temple University.
She's
or
like,
whatever.
"Well, I don't even think I want to go." And then the coach, the daddy's like, "You know, I don't think I want to go either." And she goes, "Y'all are both going. You're going to get dressed up and you're going to look nice. And I'm going to take pictures and I'm going to have happy memories for the rest of my life. And I'm going to be happy and you're going to be happy." I just love that scene where she's yelling at him, because that's the same thing mothers really say, really. You're going to do it and you're going to be happy.
It was extremely realistic.
And
though, you're always, you know, they have that, you know, their mind whenever that sort of, when everybody's just being an idiot like that. And they're, "I'm going to be happy with this. You're going to take pictures."
Yeah. Just do it. Get dressed. You're going. Julie's mom.
Coach's wife,
Julie's mom. She is trying to get Tyra into college. But her mom has this freak out session with her where she's like, "You're not going to college because we can't afford it." She basically discourages her from furthering her education. And that
was really nice.
It was a painful scene to watch. Until at the end, she decides to take Tyra to the father-daughter thing, and she's dancing with her. There's a lot of really good feelings on the show, just warm feelings. I love the show. Mm-hmm. And there's even some negative things, like Buddy Garrity. He tries to do a scrapbook of his family to cheer his wife up, and he gets Lila to help him. Well, not really. She just kind of sits there. And she's like, "I don't want to see..."
I saw it on Dr. Phil. It's
help. Yeah. And I love how they also show a Buddy Garrity car commercial in the background. I love that.
That was hilarious.
But he's like, "Honey, I've never cheated on your mom, but this one time, I'm sorry. I won't ever do it again." Then when he tries to get in the house, she's like, "I'm sorry to tell you this, honey, but he's cheated on me a lot of times, and I put up with it." So then she's pissed off. She takes a car and she smashes up his car lot, just crashing into everything. She made him. I don't know what's going to happen on that. That was crazy.
It was like, that scene was right out of Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they do something
missing with a monster truck.
But on the next episode, it's like they close the school down for some reason or other.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens. Looks like a fire or something.
Asbestos.
And I'm sure Buddy Garrity's. I mean, that's a lot of financial ruin there. What are you going to do?
No, well, you know what? He can write all that off on insurance.
Oh, okay. And I'm sure he's a scammer, too.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, he's not a good guy, is he? He's a jerk.
No, he's an asshole.
But also, there's the whole thing with Smash and his girlfriend, Waverly, telling him that she's bipolar. And I love later on he refers to his girlfriend as Crazy Wavy. I got Crazy Wavy over here. Does he seem like he's really sympathetic? He's just bummed. Oh, man, I really like this girl. Why does she have to be crazy?
He doesn't even know how to react to the fact that she has a medical condition and that she's not crazy. She's just, you know, she's bipolar. She has mood swings. She's either really up or really down. He doesn't even understand that that's not crazy.
Yeah, but he's telling everybody that. I love it. Great episode. There's only 3 episodes left this season, Bill. What are we going to do? Oh, my God.
I don't know.
What if NBC doesn't pick the show up? What if this is it? What do we do? Oh, my God.
You know what? We watch the episodes again and cover them from beginning to end.
Right.
Over and over.
No. That's only if they cancel it, boo.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, and a show that will never be canceled because it's so good, Smallville. Awesome. Oh. This episode is titled Combat. That's right.
Yes, it's that old show from the...
Or was it titled Wombat? I think it was titled Wombat. That's what it was.
I think it was Titan AE.
Yeah, Titan AE. Okay, apparently there's this... Okay, Let me just, okay. Billionaires.
It's so funny how you've got to set this up because it's so freaking ridiculous.
Okay, here's what it is, Bill. Billionaires are the only people who can afford to go onto this website and watch badly streamed fights to the death on their computer in a little tiny box.
Media player.
Yeah, in a little tiny box. They can't record it. They can't download it, anything like that. But they can watch it and vote yes or no, does he die? They pay a lot, like millions of dollars, to have access to this website with no advertising whatsoever. It's only people like Donald Trump, the Virgin Airlines guy, Lex Luthor, they can watch this, right?
Yes, Bill Gates.
Do you really think a billionaire really wants to bother logging on to a website to look at this? Wouldn't he want it on his gigantic wall screen TV?
I was about to say, don't you think he'd probably be there in person?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I'm not buying that anyone would pay millions of dollars to watch his crap on a computer.
They do it all on the old...
it's on a YouTube-sized screen! Are you kidding me? You can't even tell what the hell's going on! And the thing is, when they show the fights, like, they cut to in the studio where they're fighting or whatever, the camera coverage doesn't look like that on the computer screen, okay? No. They're not covering all these angles. So all this elaborate set and shit they have, that makes no freaking sense, all right? Jesus
like
Christ!
All these angles pulled out of Citizen Kane. On Smallville.
And who is this ringleader guy? Is that the friggin' singer from Primus or something? Who the hell is this guy?
You know who it reminded me of? Was that wrestling manager from the 80s that wore the
worst
jacket with the keyboard on
ever.
It?
Yeah, he reminded me... I don't know what the hell he reminded me of. All I know is this. This was a really bad episode, okay? Not everything was bad. There was some good in it. For instance, the whole Lana Lex stuff, love that, don't you guys? You love when they bring them in. They got baby problems.
It's terrific.
It's just simply terrific. It was incredible. Thespians.
I also loved the horrible foreshadowing of it, where he comes in to celebrate and he gives her a sparkling cider, and he's like, "Oh, it's safe." And then about 20 minutes later, she's on the ground having a miscarriage.
Yeah, he's like, "Lana, what's going on?" She's like, "Lex." And it's like, "Oh man, this is very serious." Cut to Chloe, who has figured out her power, right? She goes, "Maybe my power is super sleuthing on a PC." And she's like,
yes.
Well, well, okay, Clark, I can see you're not in the mood. And I love how they show his mom, like, "I've been reading in the paper a lot of bad guys getting hurt really bad, and they're getting their arms broken and stuff." He's like, "Well, maybe they deserve it." Because this is angry Clark, you guys. He's very angry. He's very angry.
He's breaking arms.
He's finally hit puberty, and he's rebelling. Testing his limits.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Lois figures out where these fights are taking place. She doesn't know what's going on. She hasn't seen any of the fights online. She just has this picture. Here's her idea. "I'm going to get in a red leather outfit and get a water jug, and I'm going to sneak into this place. Anyone catches me, I'm going to pretend to be a stripper whose car overheated and broke down, and I need some water."
Genius.
Genius. Let's check it out. This is incredible writing, you guys. Oh, and by the way, awesome music.
Yes. I think they brought in like some DJ from Prague to do the music for this.
Du Haas.
Hey,
it's Rammstein.
Where are you going? Whoa. Hey, my car overheated on the way to work, and I just needed some water for my radiator. What are you all dressed up for, kitten?
Yeah.
I'm a dancer. At the Phoenix strip club down the road? Yeah. Look, I go on stage in 15 minutes. I could sure use your help.
Oh, really?
This place... a little off the beaten path. How do you even know we were back here? My dad's a general. Before the base was mothballed and sold off, I came here all the time with him. A general.
This is a very
huh?
believable story, isn't it?
I bet he's proud of how his little girl turned out.
I'm buying it.
Did she just see ultraviolet before she showed up?
Help a girl out?
Uh-oh.
I'll leave your name at the front door. You can watch my act. I do a killer Stars and Stripes routine.
Reference to last season, Steven.
For girl and boys.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're a very nosy girl, kitty cat.
Uh-oh. Kitty cat. Whoa.
Pretty nice moves.
A lot like Milo Yovovich in Ultraviolet.
I'm studying her moves.
Kurt Wimmer directed this episode, by the way.
For your information, my daddy is proud of me. Kitty cat.
You're my little girl. I'd be proud of you, too.
Oh, there's this great scene where he tracks down the guy, and he's like, I want to join your fight club. But the best part about that scene, he goes, I want to fight. And the guy goes, what did I ever do to you? And he goes, no, you're fight club. He's like, oh, okay. This looks so bad. And then the funniest part is he goes,
you're barking at the wrong dog, Jethro.
You're barking at the wrong dog, Jethro. And then he shoots Clark. And I love the camera pans around. And Clark's doing this pose where he got the bullet that's so gay looking.
That was so bad.
And then he gives the guy the bullet. And the whole thing comes down to this, Bill, is Clark made a statement earlier that he's going to kill this zoner, this phantom zoner. And his mom's kind of like, oh my gosh, Clark, or Chloe, I don't even remember who's in the scene. He goes to the thing and he has to fight Lois, but she punches him, gets knocked out. And was this guy like a real WWE wrestler or something, Bill?
I have no idea.
And who is this chick with the pierced lips?
Again, I don't want to know because that's freaking nasty.
So he fights this guy to the death who has this stupid-looking spike on his wrist.
Yes. What the hell is with that? Did he really want to be Robert Patrick from Terminator 2 or something?
Yeah, knives, stabbing weapons. Okay,
I've got the stabbing weapon.
But here's the deal, Bill. There's something that they played with here, and it is basically Clark basically killed the guy, or he pushed him and he fell on his spike and he's dead or whatever. Yes. The guy goes, good fight, falls over dead. Okay, so here's something that I think is interesting when you think about Superman is he's a good guy, he doesn't want to kill anybody, so what happens when he's in this brutal fight to the death, which this is like better than something you're going to see in 300 or Gladiator, the way this fight was, but Steven, I don't understand, what are you laughing for?
He had to sneeze.
Oh, okay, well bless you, Steven. So he fights him to the death. Okay, it's not really Clark's fault because the guy wanted to kill him. His mom even says that.
Yeah.
They take this interesting idea, but they make it so stupid with this online fighting thing. Are you kidding me? This friggin' wrestler dude with a spike on his wrist. They make it so stupid. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know, if I was right. It's retarded, all right? But I love Smallville.
So bad. And there's that scene where Lois punches him, and she goes, oh, jeez, what do you got, some sort of steel plate under there?
Yeah, and I love it. I know your name, the Man of Steel. He says, I guarantee you that everyone's going to remember that name. It's like, they're real clever.
Yeah, they're trying really hard on that show. Oh,
Jesus Christ, what happened in this episode? When I'm watching it.
Recognized by the Academy.
I'm watching this episode, and my wife comes in the room, and I pause it for a second, and then she walks back out, and I hit play. Not because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. It's because I'm embarrassed. I don't want her to see me watching this crap. But that, oh my god, the show opens up with this ugly wrestler bitch getting dressed, and this guy who you never see again on the episode is watching her.
That was so lazy because they're doing it like he's like some sort of like murderous peeper or something.
It's almost and like then, after the wedding episode where they kept jumping around, they wanted it to be like Pulp Fiction, jump around in the timeline of the show. They tried to do it again here. It was so bad.
It opened at the end of the show. It was so clever and from a different point of view.
Did it even seem necessary?
No. All it was the easy scene for this girl to strip off her clothes and show her big fake basketball paste on boobs.
And I don't even mind the cheesecake. That's okay. But, okay, billionaires, they log onto a computer, right? They pay millions of dollars to watch guys fight to the death on a tiny little square. That lost me right there.
Yeah, and I loved that tiny little square. It's embedded Windows Media Player with a GIF animation around it of
a button.
Arcade buttons that say live
remember
or
that.
Die.
And it says live or die. You see the right side die getting hit, and every once in a while you see the live get tapped once or twice. Like there's some billionaire like, no, let him live. Let him live. Yeah, right, whatever. Let's move on to a different show. Here's what happened on Lost.
She called off the wedding. She said she couldn't deal with it. She needs to be alone.
So if I were to call her right now, that's what she would tell me.
Phone's right over there, John.
Yes, it's ringing right now. Pick it up.
What's her number?
Oh, damn.
Okay, this week on 24. no, I'm going to say this about... Okay, Lost. There was some good, and there was some okay...
There was some good, some okay, and a lot of bad.
Let me ask you how you feel about this, Bill. After this episode, I really felt... I mean, you feel this way from first season to second season sometimes. But this I finally know. I know for a fact now. They're making it up.
They have to be.
As they go along, but every episode. Like, yeah, they write themselves into a corner every episode. We'll figure it out next week. Let's go to lunch, everybody.
I cannot believe that a show that was so good the first season is what I'm watching now.
They made fun of that on Saturday Night Live on the news. They're like, and Lost got picked up for another season. The writers went, oh, shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I can understand how you have to keep going and you have to come up with stuff. But here's the thing. Locke's whole thing with his dad's going to get married and whatever. His dad pushes him out a window. He's crippled. Okay, his dad is there on the island. Okay, Saeed, badass Iraq warrior. No, he gets friggin' captured every time. He sucks, all right? No stealth. He sucks. Do you guys all agree Saeed sucks?
Yes, he sucks.
Okay, let's predict this.
How, he smells like curry.
They're all captured by the others now. Saeed. Russo isn't, though. I have a feeling Russo's going to get them out of this situation.
Yes, that's because she saw her daughter.
But here's the thing. Jack was about to leave with Juliet, but Locke decided to blow up the submarine. So now, not only can they not leave, nobody can leave.
Why? I still don't get why he did that.
Because Locke is a retard.
Okay, that's...
Here's the thing. If he doesn't want them to ever leave the island... Okay, say rescue came.
Because he's somebody
Nobody
on the
Nobody said
island.
He had to leave.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If they're like, okay, John, we're going. He goes, hey, guys, I'm crippled except on this island, so I'm going to stay. Okay, that's understandable. Bye. No, instead it's like, oh, no one needs to know I used to be in a wheelchair. It's a big secret. No, it doesn't have to be. Give me a break.
But he doesn't want anyone else to leave either.
Yeah.
He doesn't want people to pity him, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. Whatever.
You could make excuse after excuse for why they wrote this, why they did this, and you know what? It's all bullshit. Every bit of it.
And I am interested in Locke's character, but they've turned him in... It's revisionist with his character. Yeah. They've turned him into a different person.
Yeah, like from the first season, he was like this independent, don't give me any shit, I know who I am person, and now it's... I'm Mr. Victim.
And here's another thing, Bill. They've only been on the island for 80 days, because they keep mentioning that. Would this big of story arc happen with his character in that span of time?
No.
He hasn't been captured by anybody yet. He hasn't really gone through much except the whole Hatch thing.
You know what? I feel like they've been on the island for 3 freaking years.
They have. This is the 3rd season. But, okay, here's what I say. I do
if
like...
If they had stretched it out, the storyline, you know, and said, you know, it's like...
I mean, maybe this is the best they could do.
You
I don't know.
What I'm saying? There could be days that no one's watching. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I still like the show and everything, but...
It's getting tired.
This week on 24, here's what happened.
We now believe Grudenko was in possession of at least 5 RQ-2 aerial drones somewhere in Shadow Valley.
RQ-2s.
Unmanned stealth aircraft, which can be remotely piloted from anywhere in the world.
And Grudenko's arming them with a nuclear weapon.
They're the latest astromech model.
Yes, sir. We're redirecting satellite coverage over the Mojave Desert, and the Air Force is scrambling F-16s from Edwards.
I take mine sunny side up.
fire.
I knew it. That's where C-3PO and R2 were. The Mojave.
Ah.
Yes, sir.
Jack and Rick Schroeder. Not Ricky, Steven. It pisses him off. Rick. My name is Rick. They go and they find the guy who's remote controlling the airplane. The little remote control airplane. The Air Hog. I see those on the commercials.
Nice.
And it's got a nuclear device on it. Jack tries to land it, but he crashes it. It breaks open the core, so there's radiation leaking everywhere.
Yes.
Awesome.
The core broke open. It just happened to be attached by a couple rusty screws.
But I love they show the cops and everybody show up, and this guy goes, wait a second, guys. Let me grab a Geiger counter. And it's like, and he's like, okay, everybody get back. And then later on, he's like, the core broke open. How many casualties? He goes, the first people on site will be dead within an hour. So you know that guy who goes, hold on a second, that guy's toast, dead.
The cop next to him, dead.
Yeah, all of his friends. But I got to tell you, Bill, when stuff like this happens on the show, I love it. This is what I love about 24, when goofy stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
And the whole Powers booth decided, he said, the next time a nuclear bomb goes off, we're going to go ahead and bomb some... You know, he doesn't name the country. Yeah, he doesn't say Iran, though. They don't say it on the show, but he's going to bomb Iran. He's going to launch a nuke over there. But they're going to launch it in a place where there are not many civilians. But the nuclear bomb doesn't go out. But he said, well, radiation still leaked out, so that's good enough. Let's go ahead and launch the nuke. And they're like, oh, my God. I love it. They got a crazy president. Genius.
And now they need to wake up the president that's in a drug-induced coma. Because they need him to issue an order not to, even though he's completely out of it and he might die because of it.
Right. Love it. Can't wait till next week.
Yes.
Okay, guys. BSG, the big courtroom episode. Gaius is on trial. The weird thing here is how you come to find out that there's some people who are kind of thinking of Gaius as like a god-type dude. Like the girl's like, pray for my daughter. What was that all about?
Yeah, that Isn't that was weird? Bizarre.
And what's with Rosalind's assistant, how she's acting all weird now, too?
It's like not sleeping, not washing her hair.
Her hair's all messy. I don't know. And there's this weird scene where she just keeps staring at Anders. It's just weird. And the whole thing with I loved all the Colonel Ty stuff. I loved it all. Him kind of losing his mind and going, where's that sound coming from? Everyone's like, dude, this guy's lost it. Loved all that.
He's coming from the ship.
He keeps messing with this old... Who knew in their galaxy they had AM/FM radios too, right? Little dial.
Well, shortwave, yeah. Shortwave is real popular in the future.
Well, I love it. And, okay.
CQ.
here's what happens between Apollo and his dad. They're not getting along very well.
Me. I didn't do anything to Ty. He was drunk. It's really not my fault.
You told Lampkin about Ellen.
I didn't even know about Ellen.
You're right.
You calling me a liar?
I'm calling you a liar and a coward.
Whoa.
One who doesn't have the guts to go after a man himself. Instead, you hand the shift to a stranger. Let him stab Ty in the back. And for what? Traitor's piece of garbage, Gaius Baltar. Doesn't even deserve a trial.
Are you done?
Yes.
Then so am I. I will not serve under a man who questions my integrity.
And I won't have an officer under my command. Doesn't have any.
I'll see you in court, Admiral.
You know how I really think they know about Ty and his wife? The guy was fishing there. Didn't you think the lawyer was fishing and he got that out of him? He didn't really know for sure. But don't you get an idea that maybe Anders in his drunken stage after Starbucks just was... his yap. He just kept talking about everything. I don't know. I get the idea that he might have leaked some information. You never know. There are people there. There's rumors. I think that Baltar's going free.
He is.
Not only is he going free, but there's going to be some weird religious cult that's going to, like, protect him or something.
You are exactly right.
I don't think he's going free. I think they're going to find him guilty, but say he already time served or something like that.
No, he's going to get off completely, and it's going to piss some people off, and it's going to make some people look at him like the god they think he is.
It'll split the fleet again or something.
Right. There'll be the like the Adamas and then the the people following Baltar.
And I think when they talked about Tom Zarek back on the colonies, he wrote this book. His writings inspired all these people because he read kind of this revolution thing. He was a terrorist. It might be a similar thing like that. People need some kind of hero to look at. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy stuff. I can't wait.
Kind of Branch Davidian.
This is the season finale here, and I don't know what's going to happen. That's what I love about this show.
There'll be lots of attempts on his life, and he'll narrowly escape.
How much did it get on your guys' nerves when he's like, okay, we're going to send a raptor out, and they're just going to wait and see if the Cylons are following us? And what did the people do? Hey, let's play some cards and not pay attention. Wouldn't you be, like, pretty aware of your surroundings and be keeping an eye out?
Wouldn't you have, like, the jump to light speed ready?
The FTL drive ready, fired up in case they show up.
It's like,
but I like that just in the nick of time, missile goes right through. But they figure out how the Cylons are following them. That's interesting. So, hey, we'll talk about what happens on the season finale. And just so you guys know, Battlestar Galactica has been picked up for a fourth season, 22 episodes.
Nice.
Awesome.
And here's all I hope, that Sci-Fi goes HD before next season.
Oh my god, that would be nice.
That would rock!
Universal HD would start showing them, like, simulcasting them.
Right, that would be cool, because last night they showed the boxing episode in HD. Awesome, yeah. I need the new episodes in HD. Let's do the news! All right, we got Vanessa back, and she's ready to do some news. Whoa, they turned on you, Vanessa.
Bastards.
What are you going to do?
In California, a Laguna Niguel man allegedly broke into a woman's home and fell asleep on her couch naked, according to police.
Nice.
Yeah. I like to do that sometimes.
I didn't mean to go to Laguna. I was actually trying to get back to my hotel.
The woman called authorities early Saturday morning after waking up to find Michael Bonney, 36, on her couch covered by a blanket.
One of my testicles has enlarged.
Yeah, that's why he needed the blanket. It's very cold.
The two did not appear to know each other. Police arrested Bonney on suspicion of residential burglary and indecent exposure, and he's being held on a $250,000 bail.
Why'd they arrest the girl for that? What did she do? She just
Bonnie's the guy's last name.
Oh, I thought Bonney was the lady.
Yeah.
Why did they arrest him for indecent exposure? He had a blanket over top of him.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
he's
dressed
in someone's house naked.
That has nothing to do with...
See, if he was a hot guy, that would be all right. I wouldn't mind that. But,
yeah, he just might be a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You ever heard of Ted Bundy? He was good looking, too.
Hey, as long as they're hot, I don't care if they murder me.
The same thing with sexual harassment. You know that if any guy was hot and he was doing that to a woman, she would not report him. So there.
I like dogs.
What are you talking about?
You didn't see that? They had this whole study about that. They said that women
about guys who break in your house and sleep on your couch naked?
No, about that a
good-looking
woman...
guys can flirt with women and get away with it. Ugly
right.
guys,
oh,
it's sexual
exactly.
harassment.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Don't see the point.
Yeah. All right. In Berlin, a 91-year-old German sparked a rescue operation when he slipped, mending his roof, and got stuck fast in tar like a beetle on its back. Passersby were so shocked to see...
That was really great, metaphor for getting stuck.
Yeah.
I love that.
Passersby were so shocked to see the elderly handyman working on the roof.
No.
They first thought he was planning to commit suicide. In fact, he was just recoating the roofing with bitumen. Is that tar or something? Bitumen? But then he slipped. B-I-T-U-M-E-N. I'm assuming it's some
Vanessa!
Sort of... What? Bit you men. But when we got there, he was like a beetle on his back with his arms and legs sprawled out and completely glued to his roof. Due to his age, he couldn't free himself from his unfortunate situation. Local firemen carefully detached the man using ropes and ladders. He was unharmed but had, well, of course, sticky clothes. How embarrassing.
Ain't it awful?
It is, Bugs.
All right, in Salinas, California, a 69-year-old woman filed a wrongful termination and sexual harassment lawsuit against a Monterey auto dealer and one of its employees. Velma Evans says she was fired by Stahl Motor, Inc. after she repeatedly complained about a male employee who allegedly wore a penis pendant necklace and used a sausage to flash her in a sexual manner.
That's not appropriate.
Nice.
Stop it!
She should have been complimented. 65 years old?
69.
That's a great number.
Yeah. Employee Kurt Aiken said Monday the allegations are baseless, noting he was merely eating the sausage and wearing a necklace. And wearing a necklace with a religious icon.
The holy penis.
Yes, exactly.
Penis of Damascus.
Oh, Billy.
Evans was a part-time customer service manager at the dealership for 18 years. Her troubles began on December 13, 2001, when Aiken called out to her as he was exposing a sausage through his unbuttoned shirt or unzipped pants. She complained to Stahl, and Stahl, the manager of the company, and the employee wrote letters acknowledging the untoward incident. Aiken wrote that, "We fool around in the shop sometimes between the guys as guys do." Evans continued to work at the company for more than 4 years until August 17, 2006, when a customer told her Aiken had joked about the sausage incident and was regularly wearing a necklace with likenesses of a monkey and a penis hanging from it. Evans went to Stahl to say she was embarrassed and humiliated that Aiken would joke about the harassment to a customer. Stahl then allegedly made her leave. So that's what her suit is about. She just needs to get her...
What religion has a monkey penis? Necklace.
It resembles a monkey penis. That's what it says. It doesn't say it is. All right. In Los Angeles, an online gaming site is taking bets on whether Heather Mills' artificial leg will fly off during her upcoming appearance on Dancing with the Stars.
Sounds like someone wants attention.
Mills, 39, the estranged wife of Beatle Paul McCartney, lost her leg below the knee in a traffic accident in 1993. She is the first contestant on the, I love this, hit ABC television show to compete with an artificial limb.
It is a hit.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was.
Like 30 million people every time it's on.
Who are these people?
I'm one of them.
You watch this?
Yeah, watch it every week.
Oh, man.
Women are really freaking hot.
Wait, Vanessa, don't you watch Judge Judy, People's Court?
No, I watch Judge Judy because I admire her.
Oh, my God.
I do. You know what? She's exactly the model every woman should follow. What the hell is that, a pig? What the hell?
About right to kill you.
All right, a week before Mills' March 19th debut, the Antigua-based gaming site, Bodog.com, opened bets on whether her prosthetic leg would fly off during a dance routine and made No a heavy favorite. What was that?
I'm just laughing at the fact that you think Judge Judy is a good example.
Why wouldn't she be? She's an idiot. Okay. All right, tell me why she wouldn't be.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm done. I know Jesus is supposed to have to think that by 7. So.
Tell me why she wouldn't be.
Because she is an old bitch.
So her age.
Bitch.
I'm talking about her accomplishments, the fact she doesn't play her crap.
That's so hard to believe.
She's
crotchety enough to get a TV show and make fun of other people.
Men. If that were a guy up there, you wouldn't be saying the same thing.
Oh, yeah, because I love Judge Joe Brown. You know, he's
a he is nothing like her.
Hey, she's got nothing on Wapner. That guy would whip her ass.
Yeah, but Wapner was.
I love Wapner,
so
too.
He wasn't
her.
An ass.
She's got the greatest job in the world. She gets paid to tell people they are idiots,
she
has the law behind
to
her.
Sit in front of television cameras.
Hot lesbian man. Yes.
Yeah, but her being a officer of the court doesn't give her the right to tell you you're an idiot.
I think it has every right, because somebody needs to tell these people that they are. Think so.
It doesn't.
Let's see what happens when a judge says that to you.
Just because they're idiots doesn't mean that she has the right to call them that.
Sometimes people need to hear it.
The only reason these people don't sue her for slander is because they sign a waiver that she can say whatever she wants.
Not true. She was sued.
An opinionated old whore.
She was sued. So that's not true.
But they
slander means it's not true. You the defense to that is
SMT.
The truth.
Okay, how far did this? Since you know so much about her, how far did this go? This lawsuit. Did she lose?
No, it didn't even go anywhere because do you know what the lawsuit was about?
Because they signed a waiver.
The guy went on there and he was a lawyer, and he said something about the law that wasn't true. She said, "Where did you go to law school?" He was suing her for that because he said that she shouldn't have said that. Now you tell me, do you think that would have gone anywhere?
Whoa!
No.
Exactly. Because he made a comment about the law that was wrong.
I don't necessarily think that's right. I still think she's an opinionated bitch.
Damn straight. And if a guy were doing the same thing...
Oh, yeah, because you know what? That's what guys really want in a woman.
It has nothing to do with it. It attracts the opposite sex. I'm talking about the fact she went and she got her education, that she did everything she could possibly do. She broke through that glass ceiling.
What glass ceiling?
Oh, my God.
Was she at Charlie's elevator? Is this all of a sudden Willy Wonka?
You're talking like a guy.
Yeah, I'm talking like a guy because I am a guy.
That's what I'm saying. You are coming from a guy's point of view.
I brought this up because, Vanessa, you were demeaning Dancing with the Stars. Heather Mills is dancing with a prosthetic leg. Isn't she a woman who equally deserves some kudos for that? And I think you should watch it in support of fellow woman.
Yes, because you know what? She is doing terrific things.
She should grow up.
Be hot, marry a millionaire, and take him for all he's
worth.
That's
why I don't like her, because she's going after him for his money that she did not earn. It's not her money.
You know everything about her.
What?
Before next fall, you're in need of a serious attitude adjustment, young man. You better get your priorities straight.
After the show,
and watch out with that other crowd you're running with. Don't think I have to know.
This is
clear. I'm going to buy the Judge Judy book, Don't Pee on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining.
Yeah, and Beauty Fades is Dumbest Forever. It's her other book.
Poignant.
Buck naked.
Have you read it?
No, I'm not
reading it. Then you can't say anything.
It's like Dr. Phil and his hillbilly homespun wisdom. It's all horseshit.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
You buy into it. It's sad.
Anyway, the site added that Mills' leg must fall off, not be purposely taken off during a dance routine for all yes wagers to be graded a win.
And that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I think those the prosthetics are really secure.
Is the show live?
Yeah, it's live.
But there's probably a delay. I'm sure they wouldn't show that because it would be so embarrassing to her.
Those prosthetics have like vacuum seals on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why people have so many sores.
I mean, could the thing break, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a danger that if she puts too much weight on that leg, it could break.
But I thought the newer ones, that with the type of material that it's used,
they're
it's really sturdy.
They're too heavy for dancing. They're too heavy for dancing. She had to have a special...
You dirty, filthy cyborg.
Yeah, hopefully they won't have her do, like, break
she
dancing.
She is a cyborg.
She's
Holy
got a
shit.
Robot leg, yeah. All right, Vanessa, next story!
A 20-year-old man in Wisconsin received probation after he was convicted of having sexual contact with a dead deer. The sentence also requires...
He likes to screw deer!
I like to kill deer. The sentence also requires Brian James Hathaway to be evaluated as a sex offender, I don't know, and treated at the Institute for Psychological and Sexual Health in Duluth, Minnesota. Hathaway's probation will be served at the same time as a 9-month jail sentence he received in February for violating his extended supervision. He was found guilty in April 2005 of felony mistreatment of an animal after he killed a horse with the intention of having sex with it. He was sentenced to 18 months in jail and 2 years of extended supervision on that charge, and as well as 6 years of probation for taking and driving a vehicle without the owner's consent. Hathaway pleaded no contest earlier this month to misdemeanor mistreatment of an animal for the incident involving the deer. That this type of behavior is disturbing, Judge Michael Lucci said. It's disturbing to the public, and it's disturbing to the court. That is just freaky. And that's
hey,
all
you know what? Bill. If the only way you can have sex with an animal is kill it, you know, hey, that's what's got to happen.
So he's a necrophiliac bestialist.
Yeah,
he's
what would you call
go.
That? What
I
a
think
freak.
It's hot.
Just the picture of somebody doing a deer. It's just a little...
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're barking at the wrong dog, Jethro.
And that's all I got.
Well, thanks, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the news. And the news was dedicated to Judge Judy this week.
That's right.
A very important woman.
Exactly.
Oh, wait.
I like
you
very much. And I think you're a fantastic personality.
Thank you, Simon. Now, Bill, do we have any cold news this week?
Sure, I can throw a little cult news in here.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Bill, cult news! Whoa, what the hell's going on here?
It seems the fairy tale marriage of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes might be turning into a horror story.
Oh, no.
Yes, according to the tabloids. You know how trustworthy they are.
It.
Yes, Colonel Pine knows everything. Katie Holmes, or Katie Cruz, has been calling Posh Spice Victoria Beckham over the phone and crying for hours, saying that Tom is basically making her do everything that involves Scientology and never leaving her alone, by her lonesome, or, you know, he always has somebody with her, whether it's his mother or his sister or him. Word is that the Beckhams are kind of separating themselves from Tom Cruise now because he will not leave them alone about joining Scientology. He recently called them 18 times in 1 hour trying to get them to join Scientology.
What a freak.
Yeah, it says Victoria Beckham is sick and tired of Tom being on her back about Scientology. Victoria is an old-fashioned British woman who believes in God but finds it quite rude that Tom is bugging her so much. Yeah, so Tom Cruise is freaking insane. Also in the news...
Shouldn't he be working on this new deal at MGM UA or whatever?
No, it's more important that he proselytize for L. Ron Hubbard.
There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance.
He has got to get more people on the bridge to total freedom before he can go back to work.
Exactly, Bill.
In other Scientology news, John Travolta has been banned from talking about Scientology in Germany by network television ZDF when he appears on the Wetten Das show on March 31st. Around the time that Travolta is to be appearing on that show, a Scientology center is planned to open in Freiburg, Germany. Officials from the network insist the appearance of Travolta was not deliberately meant to coincide with the opening. He'll be there to promote Wild Hogs.
Awesome.
Yes. And last story.
Hey, wait a second, Bill.
What? What?
Are the German people really that interested in Wild Hogs, that movie?
I know. Well, you know what? Somebody's got to be interested in it. And if the Germans like David Hasselhoff, why not Wild Hogs?
Hey, you got a point there.
In terrific Jehovah's Witness news, an evil foster mother was convicted of horrifically abusing three children to raise them in accordance with her faith. A fanatical Jehovah's Witness, Eunice Spree, 62, believed the two girls and a boy were possessed by the devil and wanted to purify them. She beat them with sticks and metal bars, forced them to drink bleach and eat their own vomit and feces.
Jesus!
And then starved them naked in a locked room for a month. She also pushed sticks down their throats, strangled them, forced their hands on a hot cooker, and rubbed their faces with sandpaper.
That's a great thing.
Steven! Jesus!
If they were possessed, it was a good thing.
Struggling.
F&M.
Well, has this lady been shot? Or where is she? Is she in jail, I hope?
The kids were banned from listening to pop music.
No!
That's
wholesome.
Trendy clothes, and were punished if found with sweets or music magazines. One punishment saw the trio as only victims A, B, and C forced to stay totally still for long periods. If they moved, they would be beaten as a further deterrent.
Christ.
So this woman, I guess they were found in December of 2004, and the police talked to them in February, and they're talking about how absolutely insane this woman is, and now she's on trial for this abuse.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, you gotta love the radical Jehovah's Witnesses.
Major issue.
What is it? Does that really have to do with Jehovah's Witnesses or just a crazy
that's
lady?
That's what I'm talking about. It's so funny because after all this story, at the end of the story, it says the Jehovah's Witnesses said the faith does not condone abuse. And then the spokesman said, we don't tolerate physical cruelty.
At any point did the lady say this?
Gargoyles!
Yes!
I
yes,
knew
she doesn't
it.
Like, she doesn't like gargoyles and or pop music or dogs. I don't think
so. Psychics.
And no blood transfusions and no birthdays.
Exactly, Bill.
And that's cult
Gorm
news.
Gorm has got it, freak.
And that's cult news for this week.
All right, thanks, Bill. It was nice to have some cult news. Very uplifting, not
yes,
depressing and
is.
Sad at all.
No.
Well, I guess that's the show, unless you want to do some DVDs!
Yeah, let's do some DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, and standard definition!
DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, baby! That's what I'm talking about! The DVDs! Little round silver disc you stick in a tray and you put... Oh, God, I...
Are you okay?
I fell off a cliff. Hey, Bill! What do we got in DVDs this week? I love the DVDs.
All right, DVDs for this week, March 27th, 2007. Children of Men, one of the best movies of last year, if not the best.
Incredible movie. Great film. Everyone go see it. Steven, go see it. Vanessa, rent it.
It's going to be on DVD and HD DVD.
Interesting. I've heard about those.
Yes, they are terrific. It's got a couple really great documentary features
Bang
on it.
Bangladesh.
There's one documentary where they actually just interview people about the state of the world right now and how it relates to the future as portrayed in the film, which is really interesting.
Awesome.
Yes, if you remember last
Damn,
week I mentioned a horrible
Look at
chunk.
That chunk, dude.
Yes. Speaking of a big chunk, John Malkovich in Color Me Kubrick.
Yes, that was on HD Net Movies like the other night.
Was it really? I mentioned it the other day on the last podcast about how horrible it looked. And I guess they're just rushing it out because it is, I'm guessing, pretty damn bad.
Well, that sucks. I was all ready to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Next DVD is Curse of the Golden Flower, otherwise known as Gong Li's Incredible Cleavage.
Yes! I can't wait to see that. I've got to tell you, man, I know the movie's probably really long and I won't understand the plot at all, but it looks incredible visually.
It's nice,
actually,
guys.
It's only
Let's
about
do
half
it.
And half.
Oh, really? Okay. Because yeah. I'm thinking of the other House of Flying Daggers, incredible movie. At times, I did nap during the movie, though.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Easy to nap during.
One, two, three.
I think I napped during that
one. It.
Even you nap during every movie. if you don't
really?
Own...
Really? Really, Ari, I do nap.
If you don't own either of Darren Aronofsky's available films on DVD, Requiem for a Dream and Pi, you might want to pick up this Darren Aronofsky collection for $9. It has Requiem for a Dream and Pi in it. collected together.
Get your motherfucking hands off me!
What kind of pie?
Cherry pie.
Nice.
And speaking of sweet, sweet things, Full House, the complete seasons, 1 through 6, is going to be available.
21 gigawatts!
Yeah, I believe it does take that much power to actually get through.
Drawing the line on the insanity.
You know, there's a lot of shows that I want on DVD, old TV shows.
Not
this
that
is not one.
One
of them.
No.
You
where's
know you're
my
a big fan of Uncle Jesse?
Where's my Head of the Class box set, Steven?
Exactly.
You know what? I would.
Where's Arvid
Ingen
when you need him?
I would buy Head of the Class.
So it, would
it's
I know.
Coming. It's just taking a while.
Wow, that sounds awful serious. Next DVD is a really cute movie, if not
end of story.
A tad boring. Happy Feet, George Miller's Penguin Fest.
Penguin Opus, Bill.
Yes, on Penguin Opus and Global Warming Opus.
Oh,
yes, they
he's
crowbar
really
they crowbar a global warming story in at the very end, just to make you feel like you learned something. So Happy Feet's going to be available on DVD, Blu-ray, and HD DVD.
And standard definition.
Yes.
HD, Blu-ray, and standard definition?
HD, Blu-ray, and standard definition.
I think you're insane.
Yes, I am. next DVD is a two-pack. It's actually one film with a really long name. I Spit on Your Corpse, I Piss on Your Grave. Official director's version.
Yeah. It's great.
Really good stuff.
Written by Judge Judy.
Yes, it is. It is.
Get to know it.
One I'll definitely be picking up is Lock Up, Stallone's Lock Up.
Oh, rock on, dude.
Directed by John the Man Flynn.
With an evil Donald Sutherland.
Sutherland, yes. You know, yes, Lionsgate has finally decided to give us what we've been craving.
Looks like you're working out some issues there.
This movie was so horrible. I just don't even understand.
What it is, Bill, is he is locked up and then he's trying to get out.
Oh, is he? Next DVD is National Lampoon's Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj.
Major dog food.
The unrated edition.
Wow, the movie everyone wanted.
Yes.
Especially Vanessa.
With Cal Penn.
Right, Vanessa? Vanessa, do you know who Cal Penn is?
Yes.
You do?
Uh-huh.
You have to admit, even though you hate men, he's an incredible man, wouldn't you say?
If you say so.
Only if Judge Judy says so.
Judge
People
Judy.
Like you take that Judge quote Judy. Way out of context.
I love how Vanessa jumps on me for mispronouncing
it. You so do the funny. Same
she's
thing.
So, huh? She's so angry huh? at me for saying awesome. That Judge Judy's the bitch. But she, dude.
I'm not angry at you at all.
You're so petty. It's so funny. The next DVD is
playing
the
tickets
The next DVD is The Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith's little Isn't Life Grand movie about a father trying to make ends meet. With
I heard
son.
That's really Scientological.
Like
it is.
Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
Now, Bill, is it true? Is Will Smith really a Scientologist? Are you kidding me?
No, word is he is.
But we're just Scientologists.
Mm-hmm.
Get and out of here. Just, you know, now, let me ask you, was he a Scientologist in the Fresh Prince days, or is he a recent convert?
No, I think he's a recent convert.
Oh.
Stay out of my closet.
Okay.
yeah. But anyways, Pursuit of Happiness, it's really not that bad of a movie. It's more of a renter than a buyer. It's not that great. So, I don't, you know, whatever. The original School for Scoundrels from the 1960s is coming out.
I'm playing. British,
this is actually much better than the horrible slapstick piece of crap that was released last year with Napoleon Dynamite in it and Billy Bob Thornton.
Get out of here.
I
no
think
way.
He's just accepting every script. He knows he's got a short life.
You're going to eat tots?
Yeah. I think Billy Bob movie. Figures, you know, if he just keeps taking scripts, one of them's going to be gold.
Yeah, not only John Heater, but what
John
is Bill? Billy Bob Thornton's a talented actor. And he's a
he
talented
really
director.
Is.
Have you seen the new, he's doing that movie where he's He plays Sean William Scott's gym teacher, who's now with his mom, like having sex with her or whatever. What is going on here?
I know what you're talking about.
Why is Sean William Scott still getting acting roles is what I want to know.
Yeah, how is this kid still working?
Ah, he was great as Stifler. Let's cast him in our movie.
Yeah, let's cast him as Stifler and everything. Just change the name.
I'm going home. Will somebody call a cab?
Yes. And getting ready to call that cab, the last DVD is Turistas.
Steven, I'll get back to you in about 15 minutes.
I think this is the remake of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, what it is they wanted to do some of that torture porn, like in Saw, but do it with hot chicks and bikinis and the guy from Las Vegas and make them in like the Bahamas and they get tortured and stuff. Yeah. Why the hell would
torture porn?
That's torture like porn. Did you know that's a new thing? They call those movies like that torture porn.
They might as well be, but you know, if for the unrated version, we better get Melissa George like completely nude.
Exactly, Bill. Exactly.
And that is DVDs for March 23rd, 2003. Even Snoopy hates Judge Judy.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you.
All right, everybody, that was episode 74 of Nowhere in Mulberry. I'm sorry, everybody, the show's over. I know, you want more, I know. But you can't keep taking without giving. We need little hugs and kisses, and the only way you can give us that is with feedback, like go to nimpodcast@gmail.com, send us an email, or call 1206-202-3491, send us a voicemail, much like the Rondu did, much like Mystery Man. Hey, we love it. Send us. How about some female feedback? See if you agree with Vanessa about Judge Judy. I'd like to hear about that. Does she deserve the Nobel Peace Prize for being the boss applesauce? Or, I don't know. Let us know.
I like you very much, and I think you're a fantastic personality.
But there's always a but there, Simon. Oh, that card. English bastard. Well, anyway, guys, well, thanks for tuning into the show. We appreciate it. Steven, why is the window open over here? Let me shut it. This is so annoying. The wind blows in and...
Now he'll be in a wheelchair forever.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks a lot, Steven. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
And thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome, and thank you.
And thank you, Judge Judy. Whoa, not a lot of Judge Judy lovers in the house. Hizzy.
Bastards.
And the fly Hizzy.
Haters. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
And on that note, Christ.
Jethro.
Now this is podcasting.